Well, hello. Welcome back to the Through the Psalms podcast. It's January 2024, and as I was looking back at the podcast, I realized it had been since last July since I recorded a podcast, so time kind of got away from me. I didn't realize it had been that long, so I apologize for those several months where I didn't record one. But I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you're having a Happy New Year. And so, since it's January, the first month of the year, we'll try to pick back up and resume the podcast after that long hiatus. So today, we're going to talk about Psalm 54. And it's a short psalm. It's only seven verses. And it's a prayer or a psalm of protection. It's a psalm of David. And David is praying for God's protection and deliverance from enemies in the psalm. The classification for the psalm is that it's a lament psalm, which means that it contains a plea for deliverance, and it's addressed directly to God. The superscription of the psalm is quite lengthy, and it says, "To the chief musician on Neginoth, a maskil, a psalm of David, when the Ziphites came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us?" And so that's very informative because it gives us some background to when David wrote this and what was going on in his life at that time. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. The word Neginoth can be translated with stringed instruments, so that's a musical notation or a musical direction to let the people playing this music know what instruments to play it on. We've talked about the word maskil before. That's popped up several times in the Psalms. It means contemplation. It's probably a literary or musical term. And it means that the psalm is meant to impart wisdom. So we've talked about that, I think, before on previous podcasts. And so the last part of that superscription, it talks about the circumstances of the psalm. And it refers to, if you have a study Bible, it'll probably tell you this in the notes. It goes back to 1 Samuel 23, verse 19, is talking about when David was fleeing from Saul and the Ziphites betrayed David and told Saul where David was hiding. And so that's kind of the background. If you remember a few psalms ago in Psalm 52, we talked about when David was in Nob and he was fleeing from Saul in Doeg, the Edomite, kind of betrayed David and told Saul, you know, that he had seen David. Well, this is just, you know, one or two chapters later in 1 Samuel 23, Saul is still pursuing David. And earlier in the chapter, David delivers the town of Keilah from the Philistines. So he defeats the Philistines at Keilah. Then he meets with Jonathan, and David and Jonathan kind of renew their covenant. And that's, I believe, the last recorded time that David sees Jonathan before Jonathan is killed later on in battle with Saul. And then the Ziphites, David is in the wilderness of Ziph. And so Ziph can refer to the wilderness or also to a town. There's a town called Ziph. And so the Ziphites are the people in this area. And they see David, or they know that he's there. And so they betray David and tell Saul where he's at. And they probably did this. I mean, we're not sure, but their motivation was probably to get some kind of reward or get on Saul's good side. And so then David goes to the wilderness of Maon, and Saul continues to pursue him until a messenger comes to Saul and tells Saul that the Philistines have invaded the land again. And so Saul leaves off pursuing David. And so in a way, we get to see the answer to this prayer, because David is praying for deliverance and protection. And then we see that answer when Saul is called off and has to end his pursuit of David, although he will resume it again in the future. And interestingly, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 23, and you look at the last few verses of that chapter, that place where Saul got that message and stopped pursuing David, it's given a name. And it says, therefore they called that place Selah Hamalikoth, and that's translated Rock of Escaping. So it's interesting, because David prayed this prayer in Psalm 54. God answers the prayer, and Saul has to leave off pursuing him, and he leaves to go deal with the Philistines. And so then that place is called the Rock of Escaping. So I thought that was pretty neat. And then David goes to the strongholds at En Gedi. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you've heard En Gedi. It's on the Dead Sea, and it was a place where David hid out from Saul. So that's the background to the psalm. And we'll find out, if you read 1 Samuel and go to the next chapter, 1 Samuel 24, you find out that David ends up sparing Saul's life in the next chapter. So even though Saul was after him and trying to kill him, David continued to be a man of God. He showed mercy to Saul and ends up sparing his life when he could have easily killed him, because he didn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. He had respect for the position that Saul had, which was king, even though he didn't necessarily respect Saul as a person. He respected the position that he held, and he spared Saul's life. So it just kind of shows you what kind of person David was, that he, even though he was mistreated, he would not mistreat Saul. Now, as far as the outline for the psalm, verses 1 through 3 contain the petition, or David petitions God for protection. Verses 4 through 5, David proclaims God as his helper. Verse 6, David promises that he will sacrifice and praise God, sacrifice to God and praise God. And then verse 7, he predicts what God will do in regard to the answer to his prayer. All right, so let's read the psalm, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. Psalm 54. Now, I've already read the superscription, so I'm going to start with verse 1. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Okay, so David starts the psalm off with a simple but powerful prayer. Save me, O God, by thy name. And this is a versatile prayer. This is a prayer that we can pray in many different situations. The lost sinner can pray this prayer. Save me, O God, from my sins. The Christian, the believer, can pray this prayer if he's in a difficult circumstance and he needs some kind of deliverance. Save me, O God. Deliver me out of this situation. In this case, David was praying, save me, O God, you know, deliver me from my enemies. Because Saul was after him and the Ziphites had betrayed him. And so he's praying for protection. He's praying for deliverance from his enemies. So this is a simple prayer, a powerful prayer, and also a versatile prayer. David's trust was in the right person. He put his trust in God, And that's where his trust should have been. And so that's one of the things that we've talked about before. So one of the things you have to love about David was he was a man of faith, and he seemed to always put his faith and trust in God. Even though he messed up, he would come back to God and put his faith in God time and time again. And that's why he was called a man after God's own heart, was because of his faith in God, his trust in God. The second part of that verse, he says, he asked God to judge me by thy strength. The NIV says, vindicate me by your might. So obviously David was being mistreated. And when you're being mistreated, you long to be vindicated. You long for God to set the record straight. And that's what David was praying for. And he recognized that God had the power to do this because he mentions God's strength or his might. And so David recognizes God has the power to vindicate him and to deliver him and to save him and to help him. And so you see David's confidence in God's power. But he longs for vindication. You think about David's situation. He had been anointed king. He knows that he's the rightful king, but yet Saul still has the power. Saul is pursuing him, trying to kill him. David has faced a lot of unfair treatment at the hands of Saul, and he longs to be vindicated because he's being pursued like he's the enemy, like he's done something wrong, but David knows that he's innocent, and he wants God to set things straight. And that's a natural reaction. If ever we encounter injustice, you know, we want vindication. And that's what David wanted. And then think about God's faithfulness. How many times he has been faithful to deliver you or to answer a prayer or to give you help when you needed it. When you need it. We see it time and time again in David's life, and we see it in our own lives that God is faithful to answer our prayers, to help us. And David recognized that as well. All right, let's look at verse 2. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. This is kind of a refrain that we see throughout the Psalms. It may vary a little bit in the wording, but David will say something similar to this a lot of times throughout the Psalms. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Or hear my supplication. You know, there are various versions of this prayer that he prays throughout the Psalms. But you see David's plea. You see his sincerity and his pure heart. David just prays sincerely. He prays from a pure heart. He's not trying to be pretentious. He's not trying to put on airs. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's not trying to pray with a bunch of flowery words and you know, appear smarter than he is. He's just being sincere and just pouring out his heart to God. And those are the kinds of prayers that God hears, just sincere, humble prayers of faith. There's a map in my study Bible in 1 Samuel when it goes, you know, through this story in this part of David's life. And it shows on the map David's wanderings during this time as he's running from Saul and, you know, as he's trying to escape Saul. And he goes to the land of he goes to Gath and he goes to the land of the Philistines for a while. And then he comes back to Israel and he goes to Keilah and then he goes to the wilderness of Ziph and the wilderness of Maon, and then he goes up to En Gedi. And if you look at that map and you look at the line where David wanders, it's just a squiggly line. It looks like a kid took a crayon and just scribbled on the map. And so you know that David has to be exhausted. He's been running from Saul all over the land, and you look at that map and you just know he has to be exhausted and thinking, when is this going to end? And it kind of goes along with a sermon that I heard this morning at church. The preacher was talking about the story of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter, and talking about, you know, faith and praying to God. And sometimes he doesn't always answer when we want him to answer. It's not always on our timetable. And sometimes we struggle because we've prayed and God's not answering. And we wonder if he's going to answer. And you think about David probably had to be in that spot where he was just worn out and wondering, you know, is God ever going to deliver me from Saul? Is this ever going to end? It was just a long trial in David's life. And on top of that, it was unfair. He didn't deserve to be having to go through this. And then that also makes me think of the verse of the day on my phone, on my Bible app, or on the Bible app that I have on my phone. It said, men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to lose heart. And it's that parable in Luke where Jesus is trying to teach about the, you know, being persistent in prayer, continuing to pray and not give up. And there are definitely times when we pray and there doesn't seem to be an answer. And it's like, does God hear me? Does he care? And it's hard. There's no way around that. Sometimes it's hard to continue to pray when you don't feel like it's making a difference. But Jesus says that we should persist in prayer and not give up. And we know the end of this story about David, where he was eventually delivered from Saul and he went on and became king. And God did answer his prayers, but it wasn't on David's timeline. It wasn't when David wanted. And we don't always know the reason why there's a delay. We don't always know the reason why it takes so long. But we do know that God is faithful. And so sometimes it's difficult to keep praying and keep the faith. But David is a great example in this because he never lost faith. He just continued to pray and continued to believe. All right, well, let's move on to verse 3. He says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them," Selah. And we talked about that word Selah before and how it means to pause and reflect. It could be a musical term, but as we read the Psalms, it encourages us to pause and reflect back on what we've just read. So David calls these Ziphites that betrayed him strangers and oppressors. The NIV, instead of using the word oppressors, uses the word ruthless men. It says they have not set God before them. The NIV says they are men without regard for God. And so this is, he's painting a picture of these godless people who are persecuting him, betraying him, and they do not even consider God. They don't set God before them. They don't have regard for God. You know, and contrast that with David. David includes God in every decision. If you read in 1 Samuel, David's always going to the Lord saying, "Should I do this? Should I go here? Should I go into battle? Will you deliver them into my hand?" You know, he's always consulting God and praying to God. But here he says these people that are pursuing him, they don't set God before them. They have no regard for God. They don't include God in any of their decisions. And so he's painting a picture of godless people. But interestingly, the Ziphites were actually of the tribe of Judah. So these are not foreigners. These were not non-Israelites or Gentiles. These were Israelites. And not only that, they were of the tribe of Judah. They were of David's tribe. So this is what makes it all the more dramatic and sad, is that these were people of David's own tribe who had betrayed him. And so sometimes it's the deepest hurts in our lives are when we are hurt by people that should be on our side, or people that we go to church with, or friends or family, people that we are close to. Those are the people sometimes that can hurt us the most. And so he does call them strangers, but yet they are people of his tribe. Now, he may not have known them personally, But they were people that should have been on David's side. And so we get hurt a lot of times, not by people that, you know, out in the world that we have no connection with. A lot of times we are hurt the most by people who are friends or people we go to church with, people that should be on our side. And so that was the case with David. And what were the Ziphites' motives? Again, I think I mentioned this earlier, but that maybe they wanted a reward from Saul, or maybe they just wanted to get on Saul's good side. We don't really know, but either way, they betrayed David. And they are mentioned again in a few chapters later in 1 Samuel 26, I think it's verse 1. And they go to Saul again and tell him where David is. So they were not, they did not treat David well, obviously. But we see here in verse 3 of Psalm 54 that there are going to be times when people rise up against us. If we're serving the Lord, we're going to have people oppress us. We're going to have ruthless people who don't care about us and treat us badly. And it's difficult. There's just no way around that. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said, "Never let a good man expect to be safe and easy till he comes to heaven." And so what he's saying is that if you serve God, you're going to face opposition and persecution. And that is just a fact of life. The New Testament says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if the world, marvel not if the world hates you. He talked about how it hated him first. And so if we're going to serve God, we're going to be persecuted in some way, mistreated in some way, oppressed or hated in some way. That's not a popular message, but that is a message that the Bible teaches. Now, we might be tempted to think that this was one of the most difficult times of David's life. I mean, we read about this and we just feel for David. He's suffering, and we don't like to see him go through it. We want to see him become king. We're like, why does he have to go through this? And it was a very difficult time in David's life. But if you think about it, one of the most dangerous times in David's life came later on when he was king during his prosperity. When everything was going well, when he was rich, when he was a king, he had everything he wanted. That's probably the most dangerous time, because that's when David fell into sin. And his worst enemy ended up being not the Ziphites, not Saul, but himself, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. His worst enemy was himself. And that is just like us. We are the same way. We worry about the people that are persecuting us and mistreating us. But a lot of times, our worst enemy is looking at us in the mirror. It's ourselves. And we, a lot of times, do ourselves the most harm. And a lot of times, we get into trouble not during the difficult times when things are hard, but we get into trouble during the prosperous times when things are easy. Because if you think about it, when things are difficult, you're forced to depend upon God. David was constantly going to God in prayer during this time because he was suffering this persecution. But later on, when things got easy, you don't see David going to God in prayer as much. You see him kind of coasting and not consulting God as much and staying home when he should have been going to battle. And so that's when he got into trouble, on the mountaintop, not in the valley. And so that's a good lesson for us to remember. All right, if we look at verse 4, David says, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." The NIV says, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." So God is our helper, and God is the one who sustains our soul and our life. Now, this verse kind of reminds me of Hebrews 13:6, which talks about the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do unto me? And that's kind of a reference back to Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Let me turn there and read that. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So God is our helper. If we have a difficulty, whatever difficulty we are facing, could be a financial difficulty, could be a health problem, it could be enemies who are persecuting us, it could be problems in relationships, it could be any number of problems or any kind of problem, whatever difficulty we are facing, we can go to God for help. In fact, that is the first place that we should go. We should always go to God first in prayer. And David did that because he knew that God was his helper. God was his sustainer. And so that should be a great encouragement to us, a great, that verse should really lift us up and make us feel good that God is our helper. All right, verse 5, he says, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. The NIV says, let evil recoil on those who slander me, in your faithfulness destroy them. So he prays that God would take care of his enemies, that he would reward them for the evil that they dished out to David. You know, interestingly, the NIV talks about slander in that verse, and slander can be very painful. You know, David was, his life was in danger. He was in danger of being killed. So it was more than slander. It was a physical threat. But just having someone slander you can be very hurtful as well. Someone talking behind your back or saying something about you that's not true, or maybe it's true, but there's the way they're presenting it is making it sound worse than it is, or leading people to believe something that's not true. And so David endured that kind of treatment as well, and that's very painful. And so it's easy for us, I think, to read this verse and think, wow, David's being kind of harsh. He's, you know, basically asking God to just strike him down. But when you're in a situation like David was in, when you're being persecuted or mistreated, then you kind of understand David's mindset and why he's praying this. I do think it's important that we mention the New Testament takes a different approach, that we're not to seek an eye for an eye, but, you know, Jesus talks about we're to love our enemies. The book of Romans and Romans 12 especially, I encourage you to read the latter part of Romans chapter 12. In verse 19, it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And that's a quote from the Old Testament. I believe it's from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35. And then in Romans 12:21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So the New Testament presents a different way of dealing with our enemies. We're to love them, we're to forgive them, we're to be good to them. Now that is a lot easier said than done. If you're going through an unfair situation and being mistreated, it's easy to talk about how you should love your enemies, but it's very difficult to practice that. There's just no way around that. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's very difficult to do that. We can only do that in God's strength and by his grace. We can't do that in our own strength. But we are to practice forgiveness and love wherever we can. We're not to seek our own vengeance. We're to let God handle that. And the Bible does talk about trying to live peaceably with all men, if at all possible. And David practiced this as well, because if you look again, like I said, in 1 Samuel 24, the chapter after this story, he spares Saul's life. Saul came into a cave, and David had a chance to kill him, and he only cut off a part of his robe. And then even that made David feel guilty. He felt convicted about cutting Saul's robe, like that was something wrong that he did. But you see the mercy that David showed Saul. And a lot of times throughout David's life, he shows mercy to people. Not every time. There are some times where he does take vengeance, but David was a merciful person. And a lot of times he could have let the hammer down, and he didn't. So I think David's a good example in this regard as well. The Bible in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I love that verse. That's one of my favorite verses, because it reminds me that if I want mercy, I need to be merciful to others. And, you know, Jesus talks about if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive others. So if we want mercy given to us, then we need to be willing to give out mercy to others. All right, verse 6, David says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." So he pledges or promises that he will give a sacrifice, a free will offering to God, and he promises to praise his name. It says it is good to do that. Hebrews 13:15 talks about the sacrifice of praise, offering the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to God. So we ought to give thanks to God for his answers to prayer, for his deliverance. There's a worship song that if you haven't heard, I encourage you to look it up. It's called "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." And it's a really good little worship chorus that's probably based on that verse in Hebrews 13:15. Now notice that David was praising God in the midst of the problem. Before God even answered his prayer, David is praising God and expressing confidence and trust and faith that God will answer. So you see David's faith here in this psalm. Okay, and then verse 7 says, "For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies." Now, interestingly, this is in the past tense, but I believe it's David just having faith that God's going to answer. And he has so much faith that God's going to answer, he says it in the past tense. Now, it's possible he could be referring to what God has done for him in the past, but in the context of this psalm, it seems like he is predicting what God is going to do as an answer to the prayer that he just prayed. And God did deliver David out of trouble. Again, we know the end of the story that eventually David becomes king, and Saul and Jonathan die in a tragic way. And so God did allow David to see his desire upon his enemies, although I think David mourned both Saul and Jonathan, because Jonathan was his friend, and even Saul, I think David mourned and was sad to see him fall. And so David was gracious in victory, but God definitely was faithful to answer this prayer and do these things for David. David had great faith. Again, he was believing that God had already sent the answer even before it had happened. The NIV in this verse 7 says, "For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." And that's language that you'll see in other parts of the psalm talking about, you know, triumph over my foes. So, David wanted to see the injustice corrected. He wanted to see the wrong righted. There was a mistreatment there. David was being mistreated. This was unfair. David did not deserve this. He was innocent. And David wanted to see the wrong righted. And God allowed him to see his desire upon his enemies. And he vindicated David. And he delivered David. So in conclusion, as we look back on this psalm, Psalm 54, we see God's faithfulness, that God was faithful to answer this prayer and deliver David and protect David. We see that God is our protector and deliverer. He is our helper. He is our vindicator. We also see that troubles make us depend upon God. This was a difficult time in David's life, but it was a time when he was constantly in prayer. He was constantly going to God and consulting him about what to do. So it was a time that made him rely upon God and strengthen his faith in God. So troubles make us depend upon God. And then lastly, it's important to praise and thank God for his deliverance. When God answers the prayer, it's important that you praise God and thank him for doing that and not forget what God has done. Another thing that Matthew Henry says in his commentary, and this is on a different psalm, but he says, there are some days made remarkable by signal deliverances, which ought never to be forgotten. And so when God delivers you in a big way, don't forget it. Write it down and remember what he's done. You think about Israel and the different times that God delivered them, like when they went through the Red Sea, or when they crossed Jordan and into the Promised Land, or delivered them from the Philistines, or whatever it might be. There are just certain times when we need to write that down and remember what God has done so we don't forget, because we have a tendency to forget. We pray for something, God answers in a spectacular way. A few weeks, months, years later, we've forgotten it, and we're in a new problem, and we're praying, and it would help our faith if we remembered the last time where God answered and delivered us. It would give us faith for the present crisis. And so David recognized God's deliverance, and he praised him for it. Okay, well, that concludes Psalm 54. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that was a blessing to you. I know it blessed me just reading over the psalm and studying it. Before we close, I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for our nation, pray for the United States of America. This is an election year, and our nation is also facing a lot of problems, from debt to moral problems, societal problems, problems at the border. And so we really need to be praying for our nation and for our leaders. And again, I just go back to that verse of the day on my phone about men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to lose heart. So let us keep praying for our country, pray for our families, churches, pray for ourselves, pray for our children, pray for all those around us, and just keep praying. I think that is the main lesson from this passage, is just always go to God in prayer and seek him, trust in him, and look for his answers. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that, and thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.